This is the CC Radio Podcast.
Welcome to episode 260 of the Countdown Podcast, or as I like to call it, Lockdown with a Countdown. My name is Wayne.
Look forward to a whole bunch of social media sporting that little catchphrase.
Hashtag.
Sometime soon. My name is Paul. Welcome to the podcast. We count down movies and sometimes television or divorceness so you don't have to. And we are continuing on. We are continuing strong.
Damn right.
For now.
Exactly.
In the face of this unprecedented, it's my favorite word this week.
Oh, you're going to get it a lot.
Yeah. Viral outbreak, which is now affecting Australia almost as much as it's affecting some of the other places that our listeners congregate around the world. So, First of all, our very best to everyone out there.
Absolutely, folks.
Stay healthy, stay safe. If you do catch it, all the best to battle through it in very short order or without as much pain as possible.
Exactly. And, you know, use your tools, use your technology to stay fucking in touch with people.
Speaking of, we're going to be doing some of that.
Exactly. You're physically isolated, but let's not be emotionally isolated.
No, we have a little community here, and so
exactly. Keep the mental health high
is as good a time as any to announce that we're gonna be doing some watch parties together.
That's right.
We're gonna structure them so that they run morning our time and evening our time to try and catch both sides of the world. So stay tuned in the Facebook listening community, is the best place to get all the news regarding this, but also we'll pop it up on Twitter for any other people who want to join us. We want to maintain the connection.
Well, community shit.
We're going to help each other through this period. And we may not be locked down right this second, but this will probably be the last time Wayne and I share the room together for some time going forward. The show will continue, however, via the normal way most people podcast, which is linking in via different social media and the like.
Which means instead of being in the same room, Paul and I will be about 300 meters apart. We still live pretty close to each other.
Closer to 900 meters, but yes.
900? Okay. Yeah. Oh, it used to be 300, didn't it?
Used to be 300, yes. And then I moved so
far
Paul
away. Moved about one block away. So.
Anyway, there is the nutshell future of the show in a nutshell. But what's happening today, Wayne? Today is, of course, a big occasion. It's going to be all positive, but once we've acknowledged that, and an email from a listener, which does touch the heartstrings as well, coming up in a moment. But otherwise, all positive today, because that's what you need. It's what we need.
That's what we all need, man.
You want to be distracted. You want to have fun for an hour and change.
That's right.
That is what this podcast can offer you. And it's the fifth anniversary of the show, officially. The day this drops, I believe, it's 5 years ago today. Episode one dropped. Whole people heard it, give or take.
All our friends. Yes.
No, we have more friends than that. Oh, yeah. Most of our friends didn't listen.
Okay. Some of our significant others.
You and I listened, maybe our significant others, and maybe my mum. No, that's not true. My mum listens to none of this.
No, Yate Dog, friend of mine, listened.
There you go.
There you go.
Look, it was slightly more than seven people, but thankfully there's a lot more than that today to join us for this fifth anniversary. As part two to last week, where we did the worst 10 films we've ever reviewed, we are doing the best 10 things we've ever reviewed. Once again, for me, they're all films. I don't mind saying.
Yeah, me too.
And we asked listeners to comment in the same way, and we got a lot more feedback this week. Thank you to everybody who turned up. We wanted at least 40. We got more than that, so thank you to everyone. And then we went to Twitter to decide some of the joint rankings after all the votes were counted, if I can put it that way.
So okay, I take it you have all that in hand.
I have. I'm ready to deliver the listeners list for the second time ever on the show and the last time on the show for the foreseeable future versus our list. So three lists today. You're represented. We're going up against each other. How similar will they be? We shall find out in very short order.
Most def.
All right, that's today's show. Let's get into it on the other side of this segment that we call The Recount.
Who wants a recount?
Who?
Who wants a recount?
Who
wants a recount?
Who
wants a recount?
You got some news from on the line, P?
We do. Let's start it off with an email from John Huslander, who said, basically, I'm a long-time listener, first-time emailer. John said he enjoyed the episode that was top 10 films you wouldn't want to watch with your, least like to watch with your mum. And if I had to say, these are the three movies that would fit the bill. One, Rocky Horror Picture Show. From 1990 to 93, I went to see this every week. It was at a theater with a live cast. I even joined for a bit. Seeing any of that with my mum, well, that's as awkward as it would ever get.
Fair enough.
Primer, I'm not sure I fully got it. And as much as I love my mother, it would be frustrating trying to explain a movie that I barely understood to her. And The Clockwork Orange, especially with their use of Beethoven's Ninth and the ultra violence.
Yeah.
That being said, John went on to say, today I would gladly watch any of those movies mentioned on the podcast with her, just because I can't anymore. You see, my mother was a tough woman, diagnosed with MS in 88, survived not one but two strokes in 2000, only to lose her fight with cancer in February of 2019.
Sorry, man.
Now you that can is take tough. This is trying to shame you on the podcast, but not really. You see, I started listening to your podcast in December of 2018, and when Mum was losing the fight of her life, this podcast was one of the pleasant distractions that helped me in that time. So there you have it.
Wow.
Thank you, John, for sharing that with us and the listeners. And we're so sorry for your
big
loss.
Big love, man.
It must be very tough, you know, only a year or so on. And so I'm glad that our show, in what small way, can be a bright light for you in amongst a difficult
time. This kind
of
thing is literally the reason we're still here.
Yeah.
I would say.
We've had some amazing feedback from people having babies, to Wayne's screeching laughter, to the way that we've assisted them through some tough times in their lives, so transitioning through gender change and the like. So this is the latest in that, and we wanted to share that with you. I think it's appropriate on a fifth anniversary to share that kind of thing.
Thank you, John.
Then we had a couple of great reviews of the show, which we want to thank the listeners for doing. First is from Adam Lur, who is a patron to the show. Adam has really gotten on board, active member in the Facebook community. And Adam entitled his review, Laugh Out Loud Funny. Wow, what a great podcast. Paul and Wayne know how to make me laugh every week. I drive for my job and am in the car a lot of the day. What makes those drives a little easier is looking forward to this podcast. This show is one of the highlights of my week, and I can hardly wait for the newest episode to drop. If you're looking for a movie podcast that touches on every genre and want to be entertained, then this podcast is for you.
Very kind.
Thank you for that, Adam. And then the last one comes from our Facebook community and a new member there who's also jumped on to be one of the top-level patrons of the show. Thank you so much to Tiffany for this.
Hey, Tiff.
And this is another great one to share. I started listening to The Countdown a couple of months ago, and in that time, my state has closed schools, libraries, restaurants, museums, churches, and theatres due to the global pandemic. My husband's master's concert was cancelled, and we will now have to wait until at least the fall to graduate. Meanwhile, he's trying to figure out how to teach choir over the internet. My son had a swimming lesson a week ago. A day later, the rec center closed. We went to a movie on Saturday, making sure to sit as far away as necessary. And a day later, we were told to avoid groups larger than 10 people. On Monday, I learned we shouldn't even let our two young boys play on playground equipment or play with their friends. Yesterday, I organized our food storage to make sure we had enough for our little family and our elderly parents who live with us. And then today, we had a 5.7 level earthquake.
Fuck.
What the fuck?
Shit.
This is the first earthquake I've ever experienced in my life, and I had to try to explain to my son why he shouldn't be afraid while also explaining why we needed to hide under our kitchen table. And I have laughed every day, because every day I listen to your podcast to unwind from a day of scary news reports, rambunctious toddlers, empty store shelves, and cabin fever. Thank you, Paul and Wayne, for helping me think about something else for a little while each day. I'm now working my way through your old podcast, and I've decided that even though I don't swear myself,
oh God,
I find Australian swearing hilarious.
What?
I'm a fan of Paul's soundboard. Suck a dick, Wayne.
That's like a dick. It's so cute.
No, I said that.
Oh, okay. Fuck you then.
And Wayne's hilarious laugh. There you are, Tiffany. You just got to hear it. And you have made me rethink my opinion on Armageddon, the movie, not the current global situation. Thanks again.
Okay, this shit is emotional, first of all.
It is.
Okay, thank you so much for telling us that. That is nuts. I promise this is as...
well, as serious.
Yeah, as serious as we're going to get, but I absolutely show, but thank you so much. Again, the reason we're still doing
it. And again, and a reminder that we're all in it together. And
absolutely.
It's so nice that people are still finding the show. We want that to happen. We want people to find the show five years in and to have had an impact through some very tough times. All the best, Tiffany, to you and your family.
This shit will come and go, people.
Yeah, it will come and go.
It will.
This is not the end of the world.
No fucking way.
And there are no zombies rising up, despite the fake news which is out there at the moment suggesting
if they do, Paul's fucking right here. I actually have a consultant expert right here.
No, there's no consulting. We can consult when we are miles away from the middle of the population center. Just so you know. All right, that's the end of the recap for this week. Thanks again to everybody who gets back to us and those great reviews and heartfelt messages. Let's do this then. Let's talk about the very best things we've ever reviewed.
Best shit ever.
On the count.
Reviewed.
You're a cunt.
Can you make that work?
I'll just leave it in there.
All right, good.
Now let's go and listen to the music cue. God damn. Top 10 films we've ever reviewed.
That one was shit, but I see why you're joking.
The long delay on that one is the topic of today's countdown. As we have discussed, the best things we've ever reviewed, they all happen to be films, in my case, anyway, and indeed in the and the listeners list in the listeners list as well. And as we did last week, we're going to start with the listeners list.
Yeah.
So we're kicking off with the very first film we ever reviewed on the show. 5 years ago today, we reviewed Kingsman: The Secret Service.
Oh, wow. Is that another number 10?
Came in at number 10 for the listeners. And that's I think it's a very solid choice. It just made my, just missed out for me. It's an honorable mention on my list.
Totally on my list.
Totally on my
list. Totally on my list. All right, good call.
So why don't you talk a bit about it? What is it that makes Kingsman so special for you?
Okay, so first of all, the Kingsman is about some spy organization of cool motherfuckers with Savile Row suits, and they recruit this promising street kid into the agency's training program, and then, of course, some global threat shit with Sam Jackson with a lisp comes up, and then they gotta fucking beat his ass using all kinds of cool, sweet tech. That's why this film is the shit. But you know what really impressed me about this film? Like, it flew in the face of the unwritten movie rules of the time. You see, Die Another Day had happened, and everyone thought James Bond was shit now because he was doing funny action.
We'd had Casino Royale.
Casino Royale is what actually changed the game. Casino Royale made it serious again.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so now the rule was all your spy movies and action movies should really play it more authentically rather than
Quantum
jokey.
Quantum of Solace. Have we had Spectre by 2014?
I think we did.
Yeah, Spectre, there you go. Yeah.
So it was known that you're supposed...
Oh, sorry, not Spectre. Which one? Skyfall.
Skyfall, yeah. It was known that you had to play it straight. Then this movie comes in and goes, no, we're going to do that thing which everyone said we shouldn't do anymore. And it makes funny, sort of overproduced action, right? It does that, flies in the face of the... And even in the show, they mention it. Colin Firth says, these spy movies are a bit serious for me, you know? And... it works so cool because it's executed perfectly. And
some
that's
killer
why this
sequences,
shit.
That fight scene in the church.
Dude.
Holy shit.
Dude, I've never seen anything like that scene, okay? Colin Firth busting ass, and it's because it's like Westboro Baptist Church people, it's fine to kill them. So it's like.
In fact, actively encouraged.
Yeah, it was like, look at that. Oh, no, it's funny. So I don't know. It was
I'm joking, of course.
A little, yeah. So this is just cool as shit, this movie. And of course, yeah, I know we talked about the gadgets and this and that, but I thought this was perfectly well done, which is why it was such a surprise when the sequel sucked a bit.
Yeah, it was a real disappointment, as mentioned last week. And then the sequel last week got some play, let's put it that way.
Oh, yeah. You know what? You know that scene in this movie where all the water comes in and floods the thing? That was, what you're seeing is the actors actually being scared. That was an accident.
Like what, the computer,
yeah,
really?
Yeah, the computer fucked up and flooded it in between a take when they weren't supposed to do anything, and that means they all went underneath and fucking.
And they used that.
They used snippets of it, so they actually had to have people. They cut and people. They didn't cut rather. They filmed, but all the crew members dove in to pull them out of the water, and they were actually fucking scared. So I know, right? Can you imagine that shit?
Whoopsie daisy.
Yeah. So just if you're watching it again, which you should do, check that out.
Okay. All right. That's the listener's number 10, Wayne.
My number 10.
What's yours?
It's freaking Sicario, son!
Okay. Right. One vote from the listeners for Sicario.
I know. I think I don't know how I feel.
And it didn't hit anywhere on my radar either, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you could characterize that Sicario, for me, was that... it was probably the bridge scene, the bridge crossing scene. That's the thing that everyone remembers. And I think... I've actually seen this movie about 4 times. Because it was just so damn good. And I saw the sequel and liked that too when a lot of people didn't. I still like the sequel. It wasn't as good as this one.
Right.
But
I was gonna say, how does it compare? Because you are the odd man who likes Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom most.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I just think that everything about this worked because it was relentlessly... who was the director? It was...
Denis Villeneuve,
right? Yeah. He's famous for saying... they take our art and they call it content. You know, he's just like, he's absolutely this consummate artist. And I think this movie is artful, but only artful in the way that it manipulates you, the way you feel with all the dog barking and the tension and shit like that. This is beautiful.
Every film is designed to manipulate. That's the whole purpose of films.
But this Denis Villeneuve guy, right? I don't know. This that's how you say it. This is a thriller, but to me, it looks like an art house thriller somehow, while still being as good as... just really effective. Usually, I don't know, maybe I'm saying weird shit, but like, that's what I think.
Maybe,
okay. What can I say? This is the tits.
Okay, right. I know how much you like it, so it doesn't surprise me. All right, well, that's over to me then for my list. My number 10 should come... I mean, none of these can come as a surprise. If you're a long-time listener to the show, you're going to know the films
we're
that
we're just
Wayne
talking about shit we like, basically.
Love,
that's what the show is.
Yeah, it's a nice... it's a accumulation of the 5 years without resorting to playing clips and the like because, you know, that's a bit old hat and a bit boring. My number 10 is Quiet Place.
Oh, yeah, of course it is. Yeah,
snuck on the list. Like it a lot. And it was the best cinema-going experience I've had as part of the countdown,
that's
I think, in the last 5 years.
I could totally see that happening with you.
I went to the advanced screening Everyone was tense about it. No one was wanting to make noise.
Noise, yeah.
Except for the fuckwit in front of me, because it was opening night of the AFL season and his phone went off with clearly an update from the AFL and it had Bruce McAvoy going, "Oh,
are you shitting me? He didn't turn it off."
Yeah, so geez, he got a lot of dirty looks and people shuffling and...
Yeah, I would have pissed on his face. All right.
I could see him whispering to his girlfriend looking suitably chagrined at that point. But it was that kind of film. It evoked that kind of reaction. So I was so excited to see A Quiet Place Part 2. It was very high on my list, the most anticipated for this year. And with only a couple of days to go, they cancelled the release of the film and the advance screen that we were off to see. So
yeah, we were about to see that.
We will be waiting for 4, 5, 6 months, whatever it is now, for sure. So that's okay. I can wait longer to see something that I'm highly anticipating. I hope it's as good.
Do you know the premise of that second one?
Well, it's continuing straight on, but it's also flashing back to show how things went down.
Is that why Jim is in it? Jim from The Office.
Yes. I had to think about who you're talking about there, yeah. But yes, that is why he'll get a little bit of time, screen time.
Okay. All right. That's fine.
Nice. That's one. My number 10, A Quiet Place.
All righty. We are on to the listeners' number 9.
Which is?
A Quiet Place.
Unbelievably.
Okay. Well, we just talked about
that
then.
A Quiet Place. We absolutely did. All right. So straight to you for your number 9.
My number 9 is a surprise even to me. This thing just kept popping up and I was rearranging it and here it is. War for the Planet of the Apes.
Wow.
Yeah.
One vote from, that was I believe the vote came from Dean Jeffrey from the IMDb movie podcast. Yeah.
Now let me tell you, I'm not an ape fucker.
Journey podcast got there in the end. Sorry, boys.
Okay, fair enough. I don't really dig these Planet of the Apes movies and I think I only saw this one and I would not have seen it if it weren't for the show. All right. Even though I did like Rise of the Planet of the Apes?
Well, it's fucking confused me which one it is. Which one's Sorry. Which? Rise.
War is the very last
one. Yeah, I know War. War is a good film. I enjoy that one too.
So the first one is Dawn.
Dawn, the Planet, right. I like Dawn Rise. Way more than Rise. Really? I mean, I'm in the minority there. Rise, I did not dig at all.
The Rise is the damn one, isn't it?
It's the one with Gary Oldman.
Yeah. Okay.
And Jason Clarke.
That's right. Yeah. Right. So War for the Planet of the Apes. I think that I remember like walking out of this going, I did not expect to care that much about the CGI apes. And then the CGI on the apes and what they did with it was so amazing that I think this kicked it up a few notches.
Oh,
I should not like a movie like this that much, but it made it fucking sing.
Why should you not?
Because I don't give a fuck about talking apes. I never did. Like, even the, you know, the Tim Burton one?
Do not sully this series.
That was a piece of shit.
When I say the second one's not that good, it's leagues better than that piece of shit film.
Okay, fair enough. But you know what's cool about this? None of the apes wear fucking clothes like in the Tim Burton one or the original Planet of the Apes. You know what I mean? So they're treated like apes. So I guess it's an easier sell because they talk. I don't know. There was something so noble about that Caesar character.
Caesar's a great character. Andy Serkis, I think, did the mocap for him.
Oh, killed,
once
man.
Once again, yeah.
I respected that CGI character, man.
Exactly. You really came in a real care world. For him as a real thing.
Absolutely.
And that's the mark of wonderful filmmaking in one way. That he has never been honored for that kind of work behind the scenes is
absolutely
indictment on the fact the Academy, yes, well, we're changing. We award a Parasite Best Picture. Great. How about now you award where we are headed? This is going to be the new norm. Actors will be mo-capping shit and not having to go through hours and hours of makeup as special effects gets better and better.
Mm.
So fucking get on board, Academy. Yeah. Not just Academy, all award circuits.
He's the go-to guy in Hollywood for that. So I'm
well, he
sure
was,
that.
But now he's a director, so I don't think he'll be doing as much of that kind of stuff anymore unless they throw enough money at him, of course.
Oh, man, he's going to totally kill Dude still do it. Okay, all yeah, right. That's it.
My number 9 is another horror film, but here's the shock. It's the last one on my list.
That is a bit of a shock. Yeah. Well, I guess we don't do... okay, all right.
Well, yeah, we don't do as much horror as I would like to because you're here.
That's right.
And this is, again, one of the best experiences in the cinema that I've had doing this podcast over the last 5 years. It's It, Chapter 1.
I wondered if that was going to be the one. Yeah. Okay.
Chapter 2, I think we're all on record. It was disappointing. Not Kingsman, The Golden Circle, whatever the fuck that film was called, disappointing. But
no, but it was
nowhere
not,
near
not
as
a
good.
Patch. Not
well,
a patch.
And that's always been the product with the It sort of franchise. The kid stuff is really great. The adult stuff is not so good.
Is that so?
Yeah.
Okay.
This film, one, again, we're lucky enough to see it advanced screening. Mm. You and I saw it together. You jumped out of your seat 4 or 5 times.
Oh, it was fucked.
It was fucking amazing.
It was fucked.
And you hated to go in there and you were so upset. And that you came out and went, that was a really good film.
Yes, but I'm never fucking seeing it again.
Yeah.
But
no,
yes.
That's fine.
Yes.
That's all right. I get there are some great films you don't want to watch a second time.
Totally.
But the fact that you got behind it and enjoyed it added to like, yes, you know, kind of moment with it.
Yeah.
My fiance also hates horror films and she deigned to watch it on my insistence / recommendation. And even she enjoyed it as well. So this is one of those films which is not terrifying. It's got some moments which are really unsettling and scary.
That's pretty terrifying.
Okay. For a horror film. Well, but it's so tense and you care about these kids so much and their camaraderie is so excellently portrayed.
That opening bit with the fucking arm?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't think that was
going to
happen.
By the way, that kid ends up going on to be a shit actor in Lock and Key.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's Brody in Lock and Key.
The young boy?
Yeah, who gets his arm torn off.
Oh, Georgie. What a shame. Mm. Anyway,
point being that they really felt real and authentic, and their exchanges with each other felt like the kind of shit you would say to your friends.
Totally, especially back in that day.
Because the age range is about right from memory. Like,
yeah.
Mid to late, we were 11, 12 at that point in time.
I think what made me laugh was the Stranger Kids thing, talking about how many times he's banged women and shit. And he's like 11 or whatever. I'm like, we'll do someone like that. I wonder if I was him. No, I don't think so.
Very, very well directed by Andy Muschietti. Again, a shame the second one just dropped the ball in all departments. And I think that's colored some people's opinion. But for me, this film stands as one of the very best we've seen. So it's my number 9.
I'm surprised, actually. I thought another one would have gone here.
Okay. I wonder if we'll talk about that one in
Well, it's your last horror, so it's not there.
No, okay. Not on my list, but will we hear? I think I know which one you're talking about, and we will hear about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you're looking at it too.
Uh-huh.
All right, why don't you tell us the listeners number 8?
Number 8 is The Martian by the listeners.
This is, for me, the second biggest shock on this list.
Bit of a wild, dark horse, this one.
Yeah, and yet got a lot of votes. Yeah. And then the reason it's here and above A Quiet Place and Kingsman, or Quiet Place in particular, is because I put it up for a vote. Which one is better? And on Twitter,
yeah,
they all got the same number of votes from our listeners. So yeah. I put up on Twitter, and this was exactly the same as this and number 7. So in the end, I just made a call on which one
I thought had
a bigger impact. What are the odds that Twitter votes end up being exactly the same as well?
Mm.
So this could be 7 as well as it could be 8.
The Martian.
Mm.
The Martian. Matt Damon.
Hold on for not doing the...
Sorry. Yeah, look, I love the movie. It is where I discovered Jessica Chastain. Or remembered her. I guess it was...
That's your takeaway.
Pretty much. I know that Matt Damon was very charming in the role. I remember that. I remember thinking this Ridley Scott has not De Palma'd because he made this film.
For me, this is the one good film that...
Because he's like Prometheusizing before that and then fucking it up again with the alien other one, Covenant or whatever.
Yeah.
But then this one was like after that? I can't remember.
This was after Covenant. No. I don't know. It was definitely after Prometheus.
So this is proof that it's not all over yet. Yeah,
exactly. But can I just come back to something you said there? Your big takeaway from The Martian is Jessica Chastain.
In that t-shirt, yeah.
Inconceivable.
Look, she was the commander of the entire space mission.
She was the commander of someone's mission.
Can you make a Jessica Chastain joke? No, right?
You would like to chastain her Jessica?
yeah. No, I know. It's actually a tough one to get on the fly. Sorry. All right, go on.
If you listen to the way I inflected, I think I did that quite well.
Sure. So okay. Okay. I'd like to ask Tane. No, see, I can't. I can't.
You've got to kind of fuck around Jessica, with it. Yeah. Come on.
Okay.
Give it up, man. I've done it.
Well, I'm coming back with a better one, and it might take a year.
What?
All right. I've forgotten completely what I was going to say.
I was like, I think The Martian's a much better film than just having Jessica Chastain.
Obviously, I think Matt Damon
is an excellent lead. He sells it. He's talking sort of to the camera. To the camera? Or is
it his voice? His camera, because he had like a video journal.
That's right. So really talking to the camera. He's not fourth wall breaking. He's documenting himself doing these things. He's so personable. He's so charming. You really get behind him.
Yeah. You know what? That's an actor who's probably... I don't know if he's known for how charming he really is, because he's carrying like Ford versus Ferrari movies and shit like that.
I don't think he carried Ford versus Ferrari. I think Christian Bale was the standout.
You're kidding. He was just a grumpy cunt.
Matt Damon was just a dude wearing a 10-gallon fucking hat.
Yeah, he was cool about it too. You can't pull that shit off really easy, man. I'm just saying.
You're in fucking weird bits of clothing.
I'm not saying I would do it, but if
I would take a picture of that.
My God. If you're bald, you can't have a hat. Didn't you see Seinfeld?
Isn't that the whole reason to have a hat?
No, then when you take it off, it's like you're bald, so you were hiding it the whole time. Okay?
I thought hats were meant to protect your head from the sun.
Yeah, but...
And hide your shit-ass hair, in my case, from people.
Yeah, but there's another colloquial element to it that you got to understand.
Okay.
Anyway.
all right, that's the listeners. Number 8, The Martian.
which we have totally broken down
perfectly for you.
Ballsy. Stupid, but ballsy.
Oh, God.
All right, what is your 8?
It's freaking The Kingsman. That's where I put it.
Oh, that's where you got The Kingsman. All right, fair enough. Good. So on both of yours and the listeners' list, my number 8 is a film I wonder doesn't hit the listeners' list. So this might be the only time we hear it. So I don't know whether you liked it as much as I did.
Mm.
But I'm talking about Edgar Wright's Baby Driver.
Fucking low.
Had you seen Wayne's face then?
I was thinking about what word do I say here?
As he did the math in his head on how hard he could hit the low. It was like watching a slow motion train crash.
No, I'm sitting there going, do I sing it out like him or is it just better if I say it? And that's what I went with.
Anyway, yes, Baby Driver, just a fantastic film.
Dude.
I think, if anything, and the reason why it's 8 and not higher.
Yeah, I'm surprised about this 8 situation.
The very last part of the film does let it down. Like, it doesn't stick the landing entirely. Had it
Because of the...
Yeah, we won't spoil it.
Okay, yeah.
With the last 5 minutes.
Oh, that was just... No, that's just
up until then, despite the Kevin Spaceyness, because we've made a decision...
Oh, fuck that.
Not to judge the film because of the actors that are in it, because everyone else deserves a fair break. Damn, this film is good.
That's fucking great, man.
Is there any better example of how to cut a film to music than this movie?
No way. And you know what? To me, that's almost not even the star. The star of this film is fucking the styling. There's a weird scene. Not a weird scene, but there's little Easter eggs that he puts in there. Obviously, the street signs and stuff, they refer to the music that's playing and stuff like that. But even when, like, she turns up in the cafe... And like when you see him pan across, look, there's a wall with a heart thing and it's not colored. When she pans back, it's colored, but that's just in the background.
Yep.
It's to show you that he's in love with her now. It's like, oh, that's good shit.
The level of detail in Edgar Wright films is off the wall.
No, it is. He's like that.
No pun intended.
No, it's totally. He's probably one of those cinematic geniuses.
He is my favorite. I've said this. I'm on record. Mm. Top 10 directors. He is my favorite director of all time at this point in time. Pound for pound.
What's he working on now? Well,
Last Night in Soho, which was meant to come out in September. We don't know how late it will come out now, but I'm so excited about that movie.
Night in Soho.
Yeah. And we haven't seen a trailer. We've seen nothing for it. It's just the fact Edgar Wright is doing what is styled as a comedy horror thriller.
Oh, yeah.
Bam.
That's it. I'm in. You're right, actually.
And there's some time traveling elements to it, too.
Because there are those directors that say, well, I'm just going to see the next Spielberg. You're going to see the next Tarantino. You're going to see the
Tarantino
next...
Tarantino, for sure. I'm not sure there was Spielberg anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
After Ready Player One?
Bridge of Spies more for me. It was,
that was
all really right. Exactly. It was really all right.
It's all right. Yeah, yeah. Fair enough. Remember, he directed fucking Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. I'm just saying. Anyway.
What film?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, nice one.
On an unrelated note, are you looking forward to Indy 4 when it comes out next year? Baby Driver, wonderful film, great soundtrack, some incredibly great little performances as well. That's my number 8. We'll see how high it goes. For Wayne, over to the listeners list, Avengers Infinity War.
Here's where you'll get my fucking low.
It's also low for me.
Dude! No. Cracker, please, really?
Yep.
All right, man, all right.
If you prefer, low. Low.
I don't prefer low. Any of those fucking things. Low. Eat a dick. Eat all the dicks in the world. If you go outside and see a dick, eat that shit.
Not in this world. Not today.
Yeah, okay. Disinfect it and
eat
it.
Once lockdown is done.
It's Dick Eden City. Okay.
Sorry. It's dick time.
Oh, shit. Okay, people. So Avengers Infinity War is only your number what?
The listener's number 7.
Yeah, that's low. This is the...
Why? Why? So what is it that stands out for you so much that causes you such consternation at this point in time?
Because you've got something that was supposed to be excellent and then turned out to be excellent. That shit doesn't happen. Usually it's fucking Justice League.
Okay.
Or motherfucking Batman vs. Superman.
No one expected that to be excellent and it wasn't excellent.
I expected Batman vs. Superman to be excellent.
That was disappointing. Man, I still was
good. Yeah, look, I told you. This shit... Or what about fucking the last fucking Star Wars one? That was supposed to be excellent, but it was a bit fucking shit.
I don't think any of the new Star Wars trilogy is excellent.
The first one was off the chain. The second one I still liked. This one was the worst.
Yeah.
One say. Anyway. But again... In the same, what, year? Did those two come out? No, they didn't come out in the same year. It's around the same time.
No, it was about 12 months or 12 months 11 about. Months difference from
okay.
memory. Yep.
So Infinity War actually gives you all the shit you actually needed. It's better than the sequel to this one, the whatever...
Endgame,
right?
I agree.
Absolutely. But this was, to me...
Well, and I'll tell you why I agree. If I can jump in on top of you, I'm sorry.
Please.
Because this had balls. It had balls to end where it did. All right. Now, I know that anyone who read the Infinity War saga and whatever probably knew how it was all going to play out. And we knew they weren't killing off all the people they killed off at the end of that.
Yeah.
But it was all about then, how do they reverse it and do they honor what took place here? Because you walked out of that cinema. They were brave enough on the 22nd film and a 23 film saga to end it on a low note.
Absolutely.
To do an Empire of the Strikes Back type thing. And I think that's ballsy in this modern
huge
day.
Huge swinging testes.
Like, and literally, my jaw dropped the first time I watched this film. I'm like, whoa, they went there.
Exactly.
I honestly expected characters to die more than that had to that point in time.
Yeah, but then fucking leveling,
that half of them to basically disappear.
Mm-hmm. And that's why it was cool. And all, but even more
and
than
even
that.
When you saw it start to happen, like the gut punches, certain people turned to dust and some didn't. You're like, him?
I know. It's like Black Panther. He's got a whole franchise. Oh, he's gone. You know? And you know what was cool? When Tony, like when Spider-Man, like dusts in front of Tony.
That was
right?
emotional.
But there was actually a scene that a lot of people don't recognize where he dusts in front of Tony and then there's a shot of Tony breaking down, but he looks at his hand and he's actually waiting for himself to turn to ash, but he doesn't do it and then he gets more upset. It's really fucking huge.
Right.
There's like a lot of shit going on in this show.
That, and that's just the culmination of what otherwise is just a balls-to-the-wall great action film.
Oh, yeah.
Like scene after scene of really great moments. It's 2.5 hours long, but it feels like 100 minutes.
I've seen this thing about 5 times
easily. It's a great film.
Yeah.
I have no hesitation in proclaiming it. If not my favorite Marvel film, it's number two.
No, it is my favorite Marvel film. There's some that I like arguably like better. I don't know. It's a weird thing, but there's so many good things in that. Like Doctor Strange is unsung. It's not on my list.
Doctor Strange is very good.
Doctor Strange is
fucking
great.
Doctor Strange weirds me out a little bit. You like it so much because it's my realm. It's entering into this sort of spiritual horror kind.
It's because
of,
it was handled quite, well.
It's not horror, but it's got some moments in there.
No, no, it's definitely on your like edge of the thing, but like it's totally cool. And apparently the new one is a straight up horror,
which I'll be so excited to see then if that is the case. Even though Scott Derrickson left the project, so it makes me think maybe it's not a straight-up horror, and he wanted it to be a straight-up horror.
Yeah, that would have been too much for the kids and me.
All right, so that's the listeners' number seven. It's higher for Wayne and I. Again, we shall see how high. Wayne, what's yours?
My number seven is Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. Or because there's a Latino lead, Rogue Juan. Fuck it, I said it. I don't give a shit. All right, Rogue One, everyone. That was golden, you know it, so why don't you suck a dick?
Is there a Latino story in another film that might be on your list?
Which
Mission Impossible Rogue Nation?
Ooh, no. It's Rogue... Fuck it. It's a whole different thing. Thanks for fucking it up, Paul. All right, fine.
This was an honorable mention from the listeners. Just missed that.
Honorable mention, you think? Okay.
Stop it.
everyone...
Fuck off.
Eating all the dick. That's what you dick. There's some protein in my dick. Eat it. All right. Everyone... This movie is the second best Star Wars movie ever made. There.
Ooh.
Okay. All right. Empire's 1-1. This is the fucking second one.
Damn, that's
right?
A big
yeah,
goal.
Better than Jedi. Better than goddamn, like...
I know it's better than Star Wars.
It's fucking better than Star Wars. It's better than Star Wars.
Definitely
man.
The best film. Oh, here's where I 100% agree with you. Of this generation.
Yeah, okay. And it shouldn't
and
have been.
And we don't even give a shit about the prequels because they're fucking terrible.
Yeah, okay. I had 1,000 different, like, bullshit, like, reasons why this one was... But, like, the real... Making this thing, it should have fucked up because it's changed directors and all sorts of shit happened. But for them to actually make you care about it, not one lightsaber except for the end in this movie. And that ending, by the way, makes the whole thing freaky. You ever see that internet video of that girl freaking out at the end of Rogue One because Vader appears?
No.
It's the best thing ever because it's how everyone should feel.
Oh, come on.
She freaks out and she's kind of hot. So it's like, it's cool. Okay, it's
if you reverse what Wayne said there. She's kind of
hot and she freaks out, so it's cool. Shut
that would be
up.
More
bullshit,
accurate.
Bullshit. All right, it's good because it shows you the exact type of fan of like a like just
that
excitement.
Wayne wants to do.
No, I was like down. I felt like her. Okay, I was like,
you
what?
Felt
what? Yeah,
her?
I know, like her, motherfucker.
Like
eat my balls, eat my balls. All right, that Vader bit where he's busting cap and kicking shit. We didn't even expect that to happen. The movie
was
great already, and then oh shit, they're doing the Star Wars, blam!
Like Infinity War. Had balls, this movie. Because they could have, and apparently originally were talking about some of the characters living
Dude, they killed everyone right in the ass.
And I realize that's a big spoiler, but, you know, again, if you haven't seen this film 4 years later, you probably don't give enough of a shit.
Nah, you've seen it.
Yep.
But that was the cool thing, though, because at the end, I'm like, wait a minute, I don't think they're going to get off this fucking planet.
I was convinced from the get-go that they all had to die. Otherwise, this is some cheating-ass bullshit, because why weren't they in Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi, if they're that dedicated to the cause, to dedicate their lives to delivering these fucking plans? It made no sense. They had to die. And I can't remember who came in and said that, whether it really was Gareth Edwards or it was Tony, whatever his name is.
I read about it. It was in this one in the story meeting. I think it would have been Kathleen Kennedy. It might have actually been Gareth Edwards. And he says, "Look, can they all just die?" And then the actual writers were like, "Wait, can we do that? If we can do that, it solves like every problem
yes,
we
of
have,
course.
Right?"
Yep.
And they're like, "Yeah, let's just kill everyone." Okay, fine. But I only recognized that halfway through when they were on the beach. I'm like, "Wait a minute. They can't get off now. Oh, shit. This is the end of that thing because that was it." And then it was like, hit me extra hard, man. It was nuts. This movie's fucking off the chain. Right. Rogue One's beautiful.
All right. Not bad. Not bad at all. Your number seven, sir. My number seven is The Revenant.
Oh, low.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that shocks me.
It's on my list, Cracker.
I'm not often shocked.
Really?
By your list. But that, I'm stunned.
What did you, like, I mean.
Oh, I love it. Clearly. It's my number seven. I think it's magnificent.
Yeah.
It's one of the most beautiful films ever made. It's, and I'm sorry, I'm doing it. No, I'm not sorry. Fuck you. I've got a 4K TV. I fucking love it. It's one of the best looking discs I own.
It's amazing.
Did he? I don't know, for a film which is, I think it's over 2.5 hours.
No, it's long.
I was never bored. I don't know. And I've watched it again.
I've only seen it once.
The second time around, I was just as wowed by it. You know, it should be a film. It's fairly ploddingly paced after the first 30, 40 minutes. For about an hour and a half, and then it ramps up again at the end. But because it's so beautiful, and there's some bits in there that you're really invested in. And people say this, they gave DiCaprio the Academy Award for this just as a reward for his body of work. Probably. But I think he's magnificent, this movie. He sells the physicality of this role so well. I never not once thought he's not there. It felt like he really was there. It felt like he was really suffering. It felt like he really was freezing and starving and... He sold it so well.
He's a vegetarian and he ate raw bison liver.
Holy shit.
To do that role. He said, "I'll never do that again." But he said that was it because they gave him like a fake prop one, which is made out of jelly or something. He said it just didn't look like an actual liver. So he said, "Fuck it, I'll do it for real." Boom.
That's some method, man.
No, that's huge stuff. I remember thinking...
Not method, man.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, he wouldn't win the Academy Awards.
Old dirty bastard, yeah. I think I remember walking out of the cinema and thinking to myself... There are zero arguments available to suggest that this film was anything other than a humongous masterpiece. Because you look at it and like, okay, so he only shoots with natural light. Oh, that's already insane. And the movie went crazy over budget as a result. Right? There's no scenario where this isn't one of the best things I've ever seen. And so that is totally, it's definitely higher on my list.
Inarritu, the director, and Lubezki, who won the Academy Award for the cinematography, and a fucking should have.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing, arguably, in the modern age, maybe another film we'll talk about, that comes close to capturing how crisp and beautiful a landscape can be.
Oh, yeah. And he had to move to fucking Argentina late in the shoot, like because they just lost all the snow in the place when they ran along. So this is across countries and shit, man.
Yeah. Fuck, this film's amazing. I'm glad it's on your list, too. Well, guess we'll see how high.
Mm-hmm.
Number six from the listeners then, as we get to the middle part of the affairs here, Avengers Endgame. So Endgame climbed over Infinity War by one solitary vote.
You know what? Endgame isn't on my list.
Not on my list either.
No, because I can't put them both on
not
there.
Not even that reason. Like, if I honestly had thought that both should be here, I would. But I just don't think Endgame is as good a film as Infinity War.
No, it's an honorable mention. It's a different film. It's just like Kill Bill Volume 1 and 2. In my opinion, you can't compare the two.
Big shout out to Gerald from the Two Peas on a Podcast here, because he's often sort of compared the two. In fact, I just not long ago listened to his top five MCU films, and you know, one of his guests put these two together, and one of them had it one, one of them had it two. Hmm. Everyone agreed Endgame, I think, except Gerald maybe. Yeah, Gerald didn't. Gerald was also into Infinity War being better, so that's why Gerald's our man, yeah. but in effect...
Yeah,
he says Kill Bill 1 and 2, this is exactly the same kind of thing, and you can argue that they should be together, you can argue they should be apart, but they're part of the same story. But for me, the first half of Endgame is problematic.
Let me ask you something. Has there ever been a 1-2 punch like where they've both been as good as each other? Is the second one almost always fucked? Not fucked, but not as good.
I think we can play the same you know, Jim Cameron arguments is Alien or Aliens is Terminator, Terminator 2. We can have that argument.
Yeah, right. So it does happen.
I personally think both those two sequels are better than the originals, but the originals stand up as being wonderful films as well.
Yeah. So, you know, but that isn't even this, because this is the end of like 10 years of movies.
Yeah,
so.
Well, I mean, arguably this is film 22 and 23 in a series.
Yes, that's it.
As opposed to, you know, Avengers, Infinity War, then Avengers Endgame. I don't think you put those three as a trilogy, because I don't really follow on. You can't just watch that one and then jump into this one.
What was cool about, you know what, the first time I saw this movie, first like third or whatever, I've said this shit is dragging and I don't know why. And then upon subsequent viewings, I'm like, I know why. There's tons of shit they have to get out of the way to just allow you to enjoy the second two halves or thirds.
Well, the second half of it, maybe. And the other thing is this film rests on a lot of conveniences. It rests on a lot of plot. And I get it. You know, they've written themselves into corners, but it doesn't matter. It just means the film itself is not as good. And I'm shocked. That said, some of the emotional payoffs, I think that's what people would point to if we had the listeners in the room with us. Totally. I would say, well, what about this death? And what about that moment? And what about, you know, Mjolnir, and what about this, and
exactly.
On your left, and all that kind of stuff. And
there are moments that
those moments elevate. And I agree. Mm. If we were rating the single greatest scene or sequence we reviewed, Avengers Endgame would be very close to my number one.
Totally. Yeah. No, this is the bomb. Yeah. Not on my list, but
there we are. It's good to be able to talk about that on this show, because it is the greatest, highest grossing film of all time.
Absolutely.
And it deserves to be mentioned for that reason alone. Okay, number six for you, sir.
My number six is The Shape of Water.
Wow.
Yeah.
I shot twice in a row.
Well, everyone, first of all, this movie, if you were pitching it to someone, is basically, hey, there's this movie I want to make, and it's in certainly like the 50s or something, and it's about this mute girl who wants to fuck a sea creature in a government facility, and then that's what it's about. There is no way this would get made normally. I actually am amazed he managed to swing it. But I think the reason this is on my list is that this sounds a little bit Nancy, but I'm kind of a Nancy man. This is a beautiful film on different beautiful-ass levels. Mm-hmm. Like, the aesthetic makes you feel like you're underwater, sure, all right? The way it's filmed is like the best kind of art house. It's just sweepingly nice and like ponderous.
Okay.
Ponderous. Like, it's
I don't think you should use the word ponderous as much as you do.
It's the camera moves slow and down. To me, it's ponderous.
Deliberate.
Is it though?
Ponderous. Ponderous implies negativity.
Slow? Is it?
It's a negative connotation to
Is
ponderous.
It really?
I think so.
To me, it's like, okay, fine. Deliberate.
Yeah.
Although I don't. Anyway, fine. All right.
purposeful, if you prefer.
Purposeful, but that doesn't also necessarily mean slow. To me, it's slow. Anyway, all right, fine.
It doesn't necessarily. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And
that was your English with Wayne and Paul.
Everyone, the lead actress here.
Thesaurus talk.
I wouldn't mind that kind of a show. The lead actress is this odd kind of beautiful. It takes you a minute to notice that she's got something about. I know she's not your jam, Paul, but I actually do think she's got her own etherealness about her. The way she is and the way she's half smiles and stuff. The story itself, though, that's beautiful. You put all this shit into any... Like, I just think that everything worked. Even Michael Shannon. And that was kind of cool.
Even Michael Shannon's excellent in this movie.
He is excellent in this movie. By the way, little vignette or trivia. He was in a Chicago bar called Old Town Ale House when the moment this film won Best Picture at the 90th Academy Awards.
And wasn't he there?
He wasn't there. He
wasn't nominated, which
the
was...
The bar owner took a shot of him and put it on Twitter, this ironic shot of Michael Shannon sitting alone in a bar watching the TV, watching his movie win. He just...
That's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous, but like I've got a bit of respect for him. Like, he just obviously doesn't
I feel
like,
bad for him now.
No, maybe... No, he could have gone if he wanted to.
He obviously chose
not to go on the red carpet. Mm. That's cool as fuck, right? That's metal. It's metal as fuck, man. Yeah, my show's up for Academy.
So what can we take away from Wayne's number six? He's into bestiality.
What? No.
Aquatic bestiality, if you will.
Only with a fish. Mermaid's preferable.
Dude. Fish dude. All right.
Okay, my number six then, moving on to me. And here is where I put Avengers Infinity War.
Mm, yeah. Low. All right. So
top half of the list then. Number five, Wayne. Why don't you take the reins on this one?
Number five for the viewers. Oh, God. Number five for the viewers was Hereditary.
Yeah.
That scary, scary. This is
this
high.
Is shocking. This is the most shocked I was in putting this list together. It
are
kept
you all
climbing.
Like Paul, you people? Is that what's going on here?
You mean awesome? Yes, they are.
I mean, loving cock. I don't know.
I'm sure some of them do.
No, I love cock. Hereditary, a horror of this magnitude.
Is this the one this you thought high? Would be in my list? This is what
yes!
I thought. Yeah, exactly. So it's not in my list, shockingly.
But it is on
but
theirs.
It's an honorable mention.
Wow, we got it.
11 or 12 for me, one of those two.
Yeah, well, this movie, everyone who doesn't know, has got a beheading ass theme in it. All right? Lots of people and all things right, get beheaded.
Fuck you, I'll do
it's
it.
It's fucking, yeah, you do it.
Hereditary, directed by Ari Aster. His debut feature film is a slow-moving but absolutely dread-filled experience which puts you in the middle of grief and never lets you out. It just grips you in this vice and gets tighter and tighter until there's this cathartic release where your head pops off. And if not your head,
bloody hell,
then someone else's.
I like my beheading thing better. It was less.
It was awesome.
Yes, but it was very distressing. Like this movie. Okay.
This movie, you can never feel comfortable.
No, it's fucking shit. It's not actually fun.
We turned up too late for this screening of this film, and I don't know if you remember, we were in the front row for it, right?
Yeah, we were. And so all that shit was right in my fucking
You made
grill.
The idiotic mistake that early on in the film, like it's like the second scene is there's something in the background, which by the way, on my screen at home was way clearer that there's this grinning woman in
Is
the,
there? Yeah. I didn't see that. I just shat my pants.
At the cinema, it was darker. Obviously, the projection on the screen doesn't work as clearly or perhaps my TV.
There's a grinning woman in that scene?
Yeah, that was a scene where you could see kind of outline and then she turns the light on and disappears. You were like, fuck this shit.
That's right.
And the guy next to me took that as his cue. Someone we didn't know.
I forgot.
Who was the whole time going, oh, fuck this, fuck this, see, fuck this. See.
You got to do it a certain way, people. You can't just fucking pull that shit. You got to make it funny. All right, so... Yeah, damn.
So it was really affecting the audience around us. It was just this breathlessness. It really was a tight film, and I watched it again on.
You watched it again, you sadistic fuck.
It's wonderfully acted by Toni Collette in particular. It was a travesty she wasn't nominated for an Academy Award that year.
No, I agree with all these points. I've just never watched the fucking thing or anything like it
top
again.
Top notch. The bit players, Alex Wolff, I think his name is his son, is excellent in the film as well. It's just. And then I think Midsommar is as good, if not better.
Is it as harrowing, Midsommar? Yeah. It is. Mm-hmm. See, I almost watched it the other day. Ooh, there it is. All I got to do is click.
And but like, it's such a different aesthetic. I don't want to get into it now. We'll be running too long for this episode. Okay, but we will run long this one. It's a celebration. We're doing it. Fuck it.
Talking too much.
Yeah. And I've got to edit it. So I will regret this point right now in the edit. I'm sure I'll be like, fuck, I'm going to go to bed.
Sorry, cunt.
Anyway, that is the listener's number 5 Hereditary. I'm glad we got to mention it today.
Nice one.
Your 5, sir.
My number 5 is friggin' Mission Impossible Fallout, son!
Ooh, let's see how similar that is. My number 5 is Mission Impossible
Fallout! Yeah, boy! All right.
This was the listener's number 11.
I find this a truly maximalist work of art, people. This is a goddamn... Everything is there, and you're enjoying every minute of it. I even don't mind Henry's mustache, although I prefer him clean-shaven. This is...
It tickles otherwise.
If only. but also that, like, the other than the fact that all of... I was just looking over this thing and looking at the stunts and stuff. Because Tom Cruise is doing all that shit himself, like he always does. But it's more than just one big stunt. It's like 4.
Phenomenal. Right? Phenomenal film. Just absolutely. I gave out my ridiculously Christmas in July when we didn't do Christmas at work because it was on this night. And I chose to prioritize.
And you made the right choice.
Did I ever? Had I... Pack screening, people just digging that left, right, and center.
Oh, man.
Man, this was by far the best film I saw that year.
Easy, easy.
And it was the best action film in this franchise. I think I have concluded it's better than the original Mission Impossible.
Oh, really?
I know you want to, you know, take Ghost Protocol out to dinner and then pound it hard.
That's right.
But for me, this is so much better than Ghost Protocol.
Oh, no. See, I still like Ghost Protocol better, but this thing is as close as it gets, son. Like, this could basically sit there with it. And to make, like, the shit that went on, I was reading, like, that Halo jump. Cruise trains for a year, and it took them 100 jumps. That's Henry Cavill as well.
Wow.
To do it, jumps. Right? Over, like, days and days and days, right? And they could only do it for 1 to 2 hour windows a day because of the light. Mm-hmm. And shit like that. Him doing that when he hangs onto that rope at the end of the helicopter with the cargo thing at the bottom, and he slides all the way down or falls and then hits the bottom of it. They thought he died on that thing. Like, apparently he's, like, just fell. He just fell, and grabbed it. Nuts shit that goes on in this film. And by the way, Rebecca Ferguson was pregnant when they filmed this.
Wow.
7 months pregnant.
What?
I know!
Normally you can see that shit a mile away.
Uh-huh, but this is Rebecca Ferguson.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I'm looking at you.
Really?
Yeah.
Santiago?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, but that's Rebecca Ferguson for you, man. She's the prettiest woman in the world.
Wow, that's I totally agree with that, Simon, but that's impressive.
Yep, impressive. So yeah, what can I say? It's nice. The bomb.
5-5, back to the listeners then for their number 4. The first mention of it. Of course, it's not going to be last. I wanted to do some bullshit where I was going to say it wasn't on my list.
Fuck.
Mad Max Fury Road is number 4 for the listeners.
Uh-huh.
This is...
I think we all know where this is falling on Paul's list. So let's just not be coy about that shit. Look, yes, fan-fucking-tastic. I can't... It's not on my list.
Oh, God!
Not on my list, but yeah. It's very, very nice, Paul.
How is it not on your list?
Because I'm not you.
That's fair. It's hard to argue with that logic.
Clearly it's on your list. Why don't you talk about Mad Max?
Mad Max Fury Road is one of the greatest action films ever made. It arguably is right up there with being the greatest sequel ever made.
Oh,
right up
no,
there.
No, no, no.
Right up there.
Aliens is better than this one.
Probably. Come on. But right up there.
It's up there. Okay, fine.
The sheer joy of watching some of the stunt sequences, the action sequences of this film are second to none. They're all virtually practically shot, other than the obvious occasional CG thing they threw in there for the 3D.
Mm-hmm.
Astounding. The fact that Max almost becomes the secondary character to Charlize Theron's Furiosa is just a feather in the cap of this film, if I can put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
They are both kick-ass. The score by Tom Holkenberg is astoundingly good. One of my favorites of all time. This film never fails to get my blood pumping, never fails to G me up. I'm sure in lockdown I'll watch this film 2 or 3 times to get me through because I'll need it. God damn it.
This is the only movie, Hollywood movie I've seen that looks a bit Aussie to me. I know George Miller and all that sort of stuff is an Aussie and he's doing it, but it looks like an Aussie movie. It looks like one of the first ones.
He
like with the
70 when he shot this movie.
Dude, what's his deal now? Who's working at 70 and kicking this kind of ass?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so, and also, the guitarist guy on the front of things.
Little things
that's
like that.
That's Aussie as shit, man. That's a real Mad Max looking thing, like in the desert. I know it's Tunisia or wherever they fucking filmed
it. Yeah, Tunisia in South Africa, I think.
Yeah, but oh shit. Yeah, this is beautiful. And again, that the sandstorm, I still remember the image of me seeing that, just that frame. Like, what the fuck? It's amazing. So,
what a lovely day. Oh, what a lovely day.
I've only seen it once, man. That's
what?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
What? No.
Really? You think another one? Yeah, probably. Maybe you got some time, man.
You should be fucking watching this movie again. Holy shit. All right, there we go. Not on Wayne's list. Astoundingly, listen to number 4. Higher for me. We'll see. What's your number 4, Wayne?
My number 4 is The Revenant.
Okay. That's where it falls for you.
Mm-hmm. And yours?
My number 4 is the first mention of this. It won't be the last. Looking at listeners' list, it's Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Oh, shit. Good call. Shit, maybe that should have been on my list.
What?
It's not.
There's no maybe about it, Wayne.
I don't know.
What was your number 10 again?
Kingsman.
Fuck off. It's a better movie than Kingsman.
Nah, that's Kingsman. I enjoyed the King. Huh?
What's your number 9?
It was my number 9. It was motherfucking War for the Planet of These Nuts.
Oh, fuck off. Are you really telling me War for the Planet of Your Nuts is better than Spider-Man Into Your Nuts?
It's because, look, it's animated. All right.
Nevertheless.
I'm not saying that's a problem, but it's not regarded the same as a live action to me.
Oh, fuck.
All right. Don't get me wrong. It's as good as this gets probably, and it far exceeds a lot of other live action shows, but I guess it was out of my purview. I'm just saying.
Disgraceful.
It's definitely this shit. It's definitely this
Disgraceful.
Shit.
Disgraceful. And thankfully, listeners.
I think it's fine.
Do agree with me.
I think
agree
it's completely fine.
Really hard.
I don't think there's any kind of issue with this at all.
This film blew me away. Like, the visuals of it, the storyline's fine, but it's the visuals and the way it was presented. It was how exciting it was, how nuanced and different it was, how much I want to be back in this universe. I want to watch this again. It's funny. It's heartwarming. It's exhilarating.
Let me ask you, is
the best animated film that I can think of having I've ever seen.
It's certainly the best styled animation film I've ever seen. Yeah, you're right. It's probably one of the best. But did you find the frame rate at all? Did you find it jarring at all?
To start with, I did. But that was deliberate.
It was deliberate, but it was so brave.
Yeah.
To make something look like that in the Pixar world.
We saw, thankfully this film's not on this list, we saw an advanced screening of Venom. And at the end of that, there was a 5-minute sequence from this film, which mm-hmm. they stuck on there. And I remember we looked at each other and went, holy shit,
that
looks amazing.
What the fuck is... Exactly. And that was it.
And the film lived up to that.
Yeah.
Like, that's the mind-blowing moment. And probably surpassed it. I remember sitting there halfway through this film going...
I can't believe I'm looking at this.
Yeah, I'm blown away.
Yeah.
doesn't happen very often. In fact, it happens probably in my top six. In my top six only.
Who is the creative director on the execution here? Because this is Lord and Miller, right?
Yeah, they wrote it, I think.
They wrote it. So how do you, like, who is the guy who had this vision to make it look like this?
Like a comic.
Yeah, and have, like, you know, out of register frame rates to make it look more like a comic in a world where people hardly ever remember that anymore. It's just brave and cool, man.
So it's directed by three guys, Rodney Rothman, who also co-wrote it with Lord Miller, mm-hmm. Peter Ramsey, and Bob Persichetti.
Oh, so they didn't even direct it?
No, they didn't direct it.
Oh, shit. Okay, well, they still got their one over on Rogue One. Oh, is it Han Solo or whatever? People who fired them from Solo.
Yeah, the Solo one. That's right. Okay, cool. So that's my number four. We're over to list is number three. Also, first mention of this film. Exciting.
Uh-huh.
Logan.
Loyan.
Wayne.
All right.
On your list?
No. Not on my list. Is it on your list?
It's also my number three. How the fuck is Logan not on your list?
Because when you're compiling a list of favorite movies that you've reviewed, Paul, emotions count. And I think Logan was a... It's awesome and it's great and I love that it's on this list, but it was a little downer for me.
What is your major malfunction, numbnuts?
I felt like not talking about it this show. But I guess we're going
you
to anyway.
So strange
eat my
man.
Balls, you fucking bitch. Balls and dick, just eat it.
Fuck you.
Choke it
fuck
down,
ball.
You soundboard using fucking bitch. Anyway.
Oh, actually, this is worth this one.
You insignificant
shut
cunt.
The fuck up, you asshole.
Doesn't have logo. I wish
go
we had a done.
Fuck
I
yourself.
Wish we had a fucking
eat my
done the vote.
Fucking asshole, too. All right, I don't know if you want to actually talk now, you punk ass bitch.
Been doing this for a while.
Yeah, suck a dick.
Logan. Logan is an astounding film. It is one of the most heartfelt, emotional experiences I've ever had going to the movies. And to have Hugh Jackman, after what, not quite two decades, but coming up on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Playing this iconic role as Wolverine. Patrick Stewart in a heartbreaking performance as Professor X at the end of his life.
True.
Daphne Keen coming along as whatever her name is, X... 23? Sorry, I've forgotten that part.
Has she done another movie since then?
I don't think so.
She's fucking awesome. I remember thinking she's almost the best thing about
this
film.
They're all astounding. James Mangold at the top of his game. Mm. The first R-rated superhero film, right? In a long, long time since Blade.
Yeah, yeah.
I think this was before Deadpool, or am I getting Deadpool? Was Deadpool first? Anyway, regardless.
Yeah, whatever.
One of the first. The first serious one.
Yeah, no, that's a whole different thing,
it's
though.
Definitely straightforward and serious, and man, it kills it. The violence at the start when he's protecting his car sets the stage. There are some incredible moments. People don't like the fact that his younger version, twin, whatever the fuck it is, manufactured version, they don't really like that part of it. Bullshit. I think it works great. What can defeat Wolverine? A younger Wolverine.
Yeah. I remember that bit. And I remember thinking to myself, I think I was just looking at the execution of the CGI, but it's still very, very
good. Sure. I mean, maybe that could be tightened up a little bit and be a little bit better. But other than that, that's my one flaw of this movie. One flaw. And when it ends, oh my God, choked up. When she fucking twists that thing around an X after, you know, she's like crying, says, Daddy. Oh, my God.
The Professor X thing was the hardest thing to swallow about that. Like, just this, that character would then end up being just like the rest of us, fucked up and demented, right? Yeah, the whole thing, like I said, love the show, don't want to expand on it. I
love it.
It's
love
sad
it.
As fuck.
Yeah, I mean, maybe in these times it's not the best film to
but
return to.
As fuck.
But, so. Still astounded. Not on Wayne's list. Not on Wayne's list then. Moving along to number two, which is where Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse falls for the listeners. I agree because it falls at my
and I do too.
Number four. Yeah, sure you do. Doesn't make your list.
Doesn't mean I have to agree. Eat a dick. All right. My number two is Captain America Civil War.
Oh, of course.
Yes, it is.
Ridiculously high. Did it get a vote?
No. Did it?
Yes, one vote. One vote from listeners.
Good for you, people. Person. Now, everyone, and we've talked about this a lot. Basically, I'm not going to tell you what it's about. It's Captain America Civil War. It's the third Civil War in the Captain America franchise, which is the best pound-for-pound franchise in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, in my opinion.
Sure.
Did you know that this movie made over $1 billion just on its own? Like, a lot.
Doesn't surprise me at all.
That's amazing. And I think a lot of this has to do with my state of mind, with my five-star score that I put on this movie.
Yeah, you're locked in for a long time.
It gave me everything I wanted, man. Everything. I was having a shit day and I saw this movie and it made my whole week better, man. That's how good this shit was. It was I don't know.
I remember having a shit life and Basic Instinct doing that for me.
See, and this one doesn't even have a titty bonus, and it was so good. So I'm just saying this is how the shit should have gone and did go. I don't think I'm going to crap on about it anymore, other than to tell you that between this film, Black Panther, and Avengers Infinity War, every movie with Black Panther in it has made over $1 billion.
Right.
So I wonder if there's any actuaries going, let's make 200 Black Panther movies now. I'm sure it doesn't work like that. But yeah, interesting tidbit about the movie. Civil War is the shit.
Not a surprise. I'm glad you stuck to your guns at the very least.
See, this is why this thing goes like this.
My number two is a film that none of us have mentioned yet, and therefore there's only one spot left on your list. There's only one spot left on listeners' list. And I can tell you the listeners agree with me. Because my number two is the listeners' number one. It's 1917.
Good call. Not on my list.
Oh! This is absolutely fucking astounding. Oh, no, I'm so beyond angry that I'm talking normally.
I actually wanted to tell you something that I just noticed right now. I don't know if I've miscounted or not, but I've got two more entries on my list.
You have fucked up.
Have I fucked it up?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay. No, that's fine. I'm going to go with one and that's how it's going to go.
You can mention them. We're not voting this week, but how the fuck? You got 11 fucking films on your list. We have hit a new low, ladies and gentlemen, for a top 10
one?
Podcast.
I don't know what's going on.
This is a great indication of what it's like trying to podcast with Wayne week to week. I clean most of it up in the edit, but there's no way to clean this up. None at all.
No, that's okay. I'm just going to play jazz with it, and I'm going to. When you're finished talking, we're going to go with it. Okay, here we go. Here we go. It's fine. It's going to be fine, people. It's going to be fine. It's going to be fine.
You're a cunt. You're a cunt now. You've always been a cunt. And the only thing that's going to change is you're going to become an even bigger cunt.
Still.
I just in the five-year anniversary show.
It's fine.
Go through. Go on. We'll fucking wait. Go through and count your films on your list.
Hang on. Well, all right, Clit Ring. Let me just have a look.
Because I'm watching Wayne. It's like he's furiously masturbating. He's actually scrolling on his fucking iPad.
Three. Yeah. Okay, that works.
Yeah.
Four.
Yeah. Four.
Yep. Five. Ooh. Six.
Did I say that one?
Eight. Nine. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how this works. I'm not sure if I got 11 or 12. Okay, or
12.
10. That's not 10. That's not 10. That's not 12. It's fine. It's fine. This is what we call show spice, okay? It's something that interrupts the format of the show. The Japanese have a word for it. It's called wabi. And it means a single flaw that makes an elegant whole. That's what I'm doing with this show.
First, take a big step
back.
Fuck you.
Fuck
your own face.
To be fair, I actually don't mind that sound drop. It's better than your usual bullshit. Anyway, I don't know what we were up to.
What a shock. Given you can't count to 10. Can I just point out, had we voted this week, I'm pretty sure that at this point, I would be receiving...
Vindication!
Haha, you fucked up.
Just cut that last bit.
Oh, that's right. You cut that shit. Oh, see, you need a dick.
No, just leave it. Who cares?
Yeah, you're right, bitch. That's how it is. All right, well, fine. Yes, okay.
It's not like I put 12 films on my list.
I didn't put 12. I put 11. That's okay. I can still clean this up.
My number two is 1917, which is an astounding film. We talked about it recently. Go back and check out our review. One of the most technically accomplished and ambitious films ever made.
It's very nice.
A World War One film pretended as one shot. Very nice. Fuck you. Yeah, we both gave it over 90.
Nice film.
And it's not on your list, motherfucker.
Yeah, it didn't suit the tone of the list.
Invalidated.
You've been
invalidated.
Here
invalidated.
No,
invalidated.
The whole thing's valid as
D's nuts. Really agree with me. Thank you very much. They're number one. My number two, 1917. What's your number 1A and 1B, Wayne?
1A is Baby Driver. And 1B was Infinity War. Although I guess that would be 1B since Baby Driver comes before. Okay, yeah. So, you know what? Pick either the one of those that you like. I know we can't do this. I know.
Oh,
and this really assaults Paul's sense of order and fairness. Okay, let me tell you right now.
The coronavirus is running rampant in this world.
He's shitting in his pants
right now. And
Wayne
is running rampant through this podcast.
All right, if I had to pick one, I'm going to go with Infinity War.
I have to
pick one. Infinity War.
It's a schmozzle.
It is. Let's say BB Driver was a really good honorable mention.
And that my number one is Mad Max Fury Road. The most anticlimactic slash... Oh, maybe not. Maybe it was the most climactic number two ever in the history of the countdown.
Well, I feel like it's flavor.
We've talked about it enough. I think, Wayne, I'm not sure you should get any honorable mentions given you've already given one. Anything else you want to briefly mention?
Yeah. Sausage party. Sausage Party was great, man.
The list is worst film
yeah, worst
we
film.
Have ever reviewed.
It's definitely an honorable mention
last
for
week's
me.
Show.
Sausage Party is fucking great, man. I understand that not everyone has the illness I have. Okay? But I thought it was great.
Do you reckon when the listeners heard that, they were like...
Oh, fuck off.
Yeah! It's for everyone of us.
Everyone can smell that one coming a fucking mile away now.
I know,
it's the joke. I get it.
It's called comedy.
Maybe you've heard of it.
The same way you've heard of Counting to Number 10.
You know, my fatal error this week in notes is that I did not number each thing. I usually do that. I just fucking bolted them out. So I'll
that would explain the extraordinary amount of scrolling you've been
I'll
doing
do that
today.
Next time. Yeah, it's a lot of notes.
Anything else? Honorable mentions?
No, that's it, man.
I had Hacksaw Ridge.
Oh, of course.
As mentioned, Hereditary and Kingsman Secret Service. That's it for our list. What about yours? We've already heard your list, but let's just hear a couple of the listeners' responses in the second that we call the Pop 10.
Talk about
Pop 10.
Talk about
Pop 10.
Kicking off this week's Pop 10 with what you had to say. We've already heard your list combined. What about the individuals? Kicking off with Lenny Warren said Kingsman, Mad Max Fury Road, and Thor Ragnarok. Won a film that no one else mentioned, and that was the only vote that Thor got. I'm surprised.
Yeah, I loved it. It probably should have been an honorable mention.
Yeah, I absolutely can agree with that. Mike Margosian said Rogue One, A Star Wars Story.
Boom.
Logan and Avengers Infinity War. Jon Snow, i.e. Julio from The Contrarian, said The Holy Trinity will be Civil War, Infinity War, and Endgame for him, but only allowing one of those. Number three, Mission Impossible Rogue Nation. Surprise, that one didn't make your list over...
No.
So Fallout's better.
Fallout's better. Okay. It is good, but Fallout's better.
Number two, Arrival. First mention.
I almost did that just to piss you off, yep. But yeah.
And number one, Avengers Endgame. Nicole Presley said It, The Martian, and Mad Max.
Mm.
Dan from the Netflix and Swill podcast said Hereditary. There you go. Mad Max Fury Road and 1917.
There it is.
New top-level patron of the show, Tiffany, who we mentioned at the start, did the review. Here were her three. Number three, Quiet Place. Never felt like theater popcorn was going to get a family killed before. That's kind of what I was alluding to. Lovely summary there. Number two, 1917. Seriously should have won the Oscar. Agreed. And number one, Avengers Endgame. The most satisfying, full-hearted theater-going experience I've had once in a generation. Maybe once in a lifetime.
Yeah. Endgame. All good.
A lovely summary there. Rob Walters said, I am excluding any superhero franchise films for some reason.
Okay.
Baby Driver, Ready or Not, and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Ready or Not?
Nice. I wonder what Paul's number one will be. Well, I'm sure you were shocked, Rob. I'm sure you were.
Ready or Not's good, man. I still recommend that movie and people still dig it.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, actually.
Chris Yenny, The Revenant, Mission Impossible Fallout, and 1917. Another nice. High-level patron to the show. Thank you, Chris. David Power, top-level patron to the show. Fury Road, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and number one. Deadpool. I mentioned it in passing, but he was the only vote for Deadpool. No, there was two people voting for Deadpool.
You know, it's really hard to, like, for me anyway, to remember. I remember liking movies. I can't remember how I liked them. We got to revisit that shit to try and figure out where they would go.
I think for me,
Deadpool was great. I remember liking it.
It was a case of the clearer it was in my mind, the more impact it made.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, pretty simple, but still. Sean Saylor, I think first time contributor to the show, said Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, 1917, and The Martian, number one. Nick Orton, he said last week his kids were amazed when his name was mentioned, so thought he was famous, so we'll mention Nick again. It, number three, love the 80s setting. Number two, Endgame, great ending to the saga. And number one, Ready or Not, closest Whoa. I've ever come to clapping at the end of the movie.
Yeah, no, it was good, man.
Mary Clement Hill said only three, Deadpool, John Wick 2, and Baby Driver.
John Wick 2, eh?
And going by the number of times I have rewatched and want to rewatch the films. So that's a good way of putting it, I think. Our good mate Nick from the Epic Film Guys said number three, Mad Max Fury Road. Number two, Dunkirk. Suck it, Duty. Duty from Shaker Not Nerd hates that film. And number one, 1917. Sam Hurley from the Movie Reviews and 20Qs podcast. Logan, Mad Max Fury Road, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. And then said, give us Reap, release this Brazula cut. Long-term listeners will know that's a film that Wayne and I made some 20 years ago.
That you don't want to see.
No one wants to see. Last couple then to wrap it up. Dean Jeffrey from the Movie Journey podcast said, as mentioned, War for Planet of the Apes, Mission Impossible Fallout, and he's number one, The Irishman, the only vote there for
Whoa.
That one. And Sam Cockerill said, Mission Impossible Fallout, A Quiet Place, and Logan.
All right.
There we are. That's the Pop 10 for this week. That's your feedback on this, the fifth anniversary podcast, fifth anniversary countdown of the show.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for your contribution. Thank you so much for your support of the show. We wouldn't have got this far without people continuing to grow and get on board.
And be kind enough to listen and hang out and tell us shit and
then
stuff.
Take the time to look through the list and give. And I asked for people to do it and people did it this week.
Yes.
I said,
because it's a hell of a bunch, that's why.
Double what we got last week. So I really appreciate your time for that. Next week, we'll return to the norm. We'll put the request for feedback up on Twitter. Mm-hmm. But this was, the last 2 weeks were all about the hardcore community.
Pure celebration.
And it's been amazing. It's been an amazing experience. It's been amazing doing this with you, good sir. Five years
cracker.
In. Maybe last time we'll get to see each other face to face for some time.
Yeah, it's a little weird. It's a little weird, but it'll be fine. And we don't even know yet. We'll be fine.
We'll see. But we're prepared. We have a contingency plan in place. The podcast will go on. And who knows, I may even have more time to edit in future.
I'm looking forward to not wearing pants.
Had that discussion. Even for work, like my fiance was saying, you just have to wear a shirt then, right? Just don't stand up. You can be like, it's fucking hot in our study. We don't have any aircon in there, whatever. Can't have a fan running, because if you do, that means the microphone will pick up all the noise of it. So I'll just wear a shirt and fucking shorts. I'm like, not a bad idea.
Man, you gotta watch. If this is boxers and shit, you can't, like, if your video Zoom conference kind of shit, man, you can sneeze and you throw your dick on the table or something. I don't know. Like, you just.
Maybe you can sneeze and throw your dick
on
the table.
I'm Asian.
Mine has no need to worry about that, especially not in a fucking meeting space, let me tell you.
Just saying.
Anyway, that is it. Thank you so much for joining us today for episode 260 of the Countdown Movie TV Reviews. Wayne, how do people get in contact with us?
Google us, The Countdown Podcast. Or send us an email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com.
We're on Twitter at thecountdownpc. You can follow us on Podbean where we host the show. Check us out on ccradio.com.au for our Australian home and the Facebook community. I know we spruik it. We've hit 350 people. No one drop out now because then I'll have to fucking renege on that last week. Next week. So get on board. This is where the cool cats hang out who are big fans of the show.
And want to hear us talk about dicks and shit and stuff.
Well, mostly it's listeners talking about dick.
Oh, yeah.
Mostly.
You're right. The Patreon's where we talk about dick.
That is also true. Wayne, what's happening next week then for episode 261? Despite lockdown, despite not being in the same venue, what will we be doing?
Oh, hell yeah. Next week, we are doing the top 10 hidden gems of the 90s.
We figure, now's the time. You're probably going to have time to watch some shit. What can we guide you towards?
The shit that's already available.
Yeah, you probably, not probably wouldn't have seen, but you might less likely to have seen that some of you will, go give that
we'll
a bash.
Break that down. See if there's something the reason you should watch it.
Yeah, way back when I did this with Gidget Von LaRue from the Retro Cinema Podcast, we did the top 10 hidden gems of the 80s. Mm. And now we're going to do the 90s between Wayne and I.
90s were our heyday, everyone. Yeah. 80s were like just a little before our time. We weren't adults yet. But the 90s, that's where we got knocked back by women. That's where we learned to drive. That's where we got like a first job. It's all that kind of shit. So yeah, that's
and
the gem.
More.
And more.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us again today for our fifth anniversary show. We hope you've enjoyed this extended experience and Wayne not being able to count to 10.
Are we long? Is it long because I had another choice? Whatever. Okay, we're long.
Just because you had another choice. Thanks for joining us again. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard.
Syndication!
You're a bitch.
Thanks so much. Catch you next time.
See ya.
All right, so that's the listeners' number 7. It's higher for Wayne and I. Again, we shall see how high. Wayne, what's yours?
My number, what?
7.
7 is...
It's just after 6.
Got it.
But before 8.
It's just left, just next to my right leg, but before my left leg.
All right. And I didn't take it out to breathe.
Okay. My number six is Rogue One, a Star Wars. No? Seven.
Sorry, God. I heard you say six.
We are a Mickey Mouse podcast.
It's hilarious.